fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2-gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see.
To our Survivor update for, I don't know, this week, I guess. This week's Survivor update. It's hosted by me, Taryn Armstrong. And with me this week, I'm very excited to be talking with Andy Herron, winner of Big Brother 15. How's it going, Andy?
Hi, everybody. It's going great, Taryn. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes, I know you are a big fan of Survivor, and so I have to talk to Andy about this season. Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess since maybe episode 7 of season 1, but then I went back and I caught up on it. But yes, I have seen every episode and every season of Survivor. I love it.
Yes. And I also like that I have you on as well, because you are also a winner of one of these shows.
Right.
And so I feel like you, I had Kevin Martin, winner of Big Brother Canada on last week.
I saw that.
Yes. And so, you know, I feel like as a winner, you might have some perspective, at least, some extra perspective on how these people are playing, how you might play in an all-winner season of Big Brother.
Right. It's so crazy because I feel like, I think Survivor casts a few more people that can win per season, but like Big Brother, it's like, I think there are maybe like 6 out of 16 people that casting even thinks has the potential to win whatsoever. And so having like, it's already when you're playing a game, it's like, if you can kind of deduce that you're like one of those people, you've got a pretty good shot. But it's like, there are 20 of them that have that equal shot. So, well, and like Nick, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying that this is probably the best cast in reality show history.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue with that. It's like we were saying right before we went live that for me, it's been like a fever dream. Watch, like I feel like I'm like imagining it. It's been so thrilling watching it and seeing it like come to fruition. You know,
it really does feel like it's fan fiction. Like it's just in our minds. We're like, well, we have always imagined what a season like this would look like,
right?
And now it's happening right in front of us. Although I think that if this was imagined, we'd have some changes in the outcome so far.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I very much agree.
And probably no Extinction Island.
No. Yeah. I mean, although it's like, I go back and forth on Edge of Extinction. Like I wish that we got to see more of the strategizing, but I also really did like the segment from last night. I like thought it was very like touching and I liked watching Ethan.
Yeah.
But still I wish we got a little bit more gameplay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into it. We're going to recap the episode and then afterward, we're going to get into the legacy watch. We're going to track the legacy of the winners as we progress through the season. And so we started this episode off. Now, the previous episode that I talked about with Kevin, I felt like there were a lot of like little connections that had been made in previous confessionals and episodes before, and that kind of came to fruition in the previous episode. This episode, I felt like a lot more straightforward in terms of just progressing the story that had already been building. I think that, I mean, what we'll eventually find out is that last episode was kind of the culmination of Selle's story, right? That was the last time they went to tribal, and we get a little bit of like a you know, after, what do they call it? A little bit of an epilogue in this episode with them. But I think that, you know, there was a lot of culmination that happened in the previous episode. So, we do get some fallout from the tribal, where Adam, he feels betrayed, by Rob. Rob is explaining to Adam, he's like, hey man, I felt trapped. what am I going to do?
Right. I mean, Adam, I feel like Adam kind of got what he deserved. It's like, what did he think? It's like, I think the soundbite from last week when Parvati was just like, what was he thinking? He went to Rob, who then immediately came to me, and now I know his plan. Even though like Parvati and Rob didn't get their way, Adam still wasn't in on the plan, and Adam was like thrust towards the bottom. And I mean, I kind of feel like if you're going to sloppily play both sides, that's what you get. But I guess it worked out well for Adam, and he's still there, and now they're going to do a swap. And I think Adam's going to be okay for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Adam tells us in confessional, he said, look, right. I had the hubris to think that I could get away with it. Clearly, I did not.
Right.
Adam took a lot of heat last week, you know, one for the move and two for the fact that it cost Ethan of all people.
Right.
And so he was taking a lot of heat, but like, I love Adam. You know, he's completely able to, in the moment, look at himself and be like, right. Yeah, my bad. Screwed that one up.
I thought Adam was getting a lot of hate for it too. And it's just like, hey, okay, like internet hate after the fact, it's like, why? I mean, it's like he's playing a game. Don't give him hate for like playing with the cards that he's dealt. And like going, like, if someone goes after your favorites, it doesn't mean they're like a bad person in real life. Like, don't scream at them on the internet, you know?
Yeah. So Adam is going to, I couldn't tell at first if this was Adam going around trying to do damage control or if this was just like the let's all pile on Adam hour, because he has individual conversations with Ben and Michelle and Jeremy, and Ben's just like, daggummit, Adam, why'd you do that?
I think that's a direct quote.
It was subtitled.
Yeah.
And although they subtitled it dad gummit, and I felt like it was more of a dag gummit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
With you.
I love Michelle. Michelle's just like, now you see what happens when you leak information from the alliance.
I'm kind of liking like badass Michelle these last few weeks. And like, I will fully admit that I was in the camp of people that discredited her win a little bit. I really wanted Aubrey to win. I thought that like the jury was a little sexist towards Aubrey. But I'm really liking Michelle, and I'm going to like eat my words a little bit. I've been actually pretty impressed with her.
Yeah, I've definitely been enjoying her. And, you know, I'd been theorizing in the previous recap about like, what were the motivations behind Jeremy and Michelle blindsiding Adam in the way that they did? Was it for punishment's sake? Was it to sort of maybe get in with Boston Rob and Parvati? I don't think we really got an answer in this episode.
Right.
But I was amused with Michelle just really just like, hey, are you learning your lesson? Yeah.
Right. I like that too. I really did like that.
Yeah.
And it's like Adam, I feel like Adam's pretty adaptable in the fact where he literally is just like, I'm sorry. I did learn my lesson. It's not going to happen again. And like, I mean, as you saw, he actually means it. I mean, I don't mean to jump the gun, but when he was like talking to Rob on the beach and he was like, I'm not going to give you any information. You know, like he really does. I think he really is sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, I've just loved this tribe's dynamic the whole time. You know, we lost Natalie, we lost Ethan, and that kind of sucks. But I've like this, the way that this tribe has gone through the strategy is, I think, the perfect example of what makes this a winter season. And like Dekal, you know, has been a bit more straightforward. They, you know, and we'll talk about that for what happens in this tribal. But, you know, Sele, it starts out, They're initially thinking about targeting Rob because he's a big target, but he finds out, he crushes it, and then he starts, you know, oh no, don't nobody say my name. And then it's like, okay, it's Adam or Denise, but then Adam flips it on to Natalie, and now Jeremy and Michelle are on the outs, but then they manage to get back in when Danny screws up, and then Adam tries to make this power move, but Jeremy and Michelle are too savvy, and Adam messes up by telling Rob, and now it's constantly flipping around,
because
they're all on top of it, and they're all trying to play hard.
I still kind of wonder where we would be if Danny didn't mess up so colossally. Like she was shockingly bad. And I wonder like what the dynamic, like, because I feel like she would still be there for sure if she hadn't freaked out.
I think she'd still be there. I think Ethan would still be there.
Yeah,
too.
I do too.
Yeah. So Adam's, I just got castrated in front of everybody.
Right. There's one thing Adam is, it's self-aware. I feel like he knows, like, you know, I mean, even when he's like, I bet I know what you're all thinking. Why did I go to Rob? And it's like, yeah, we are all thinking it. And you were wrong. Like,
yeah. And I talked about this last week that, like, you could see Adam, like, dying inside, looking like thinking that he was about to go home in the tribal. And he says on the episode, I pooped my pants tonight.
Right, right.
it's time to make an apology tour. And so he's promising. He says, I will not go back to Rob and Parv. I will not go back to them. And Ben tells us that Adam is lucky that Rob and Parvati are such big threats, because otherwise he would be in big trouble.
Right.
And so Adam is doing his best. As you said, he's trying to adapt here. He says, whatever they try, it's not going to work on me. And Ben warns, he says to us, at least those two, they're good at what they do. You give them too much rope, they're going to wrap it around your neck and they're going to hang you, which is clear foreshadowing for what happens later.
Right.
So we then flip over to Call, and we're hearing from Yule. I will say, for me, this episode, I don't try to read into the edit as much as I can in terms of, like, giving away who's going to go home this week. But this week I kind of had a feeling that it might be Tyson based on the preview.
I
was like, no, Tyson. So I was like really reading into it. And right away, as Yule resets, like, the strategic landscape of Dakal, I was like, they're going to tribal.
I agree.
So, yeah. So he says, hey, we're on a roll. We've got this, this, you know, camaraderie. We have this illusion that we're all tight. We're trying to keep it that way. But the real power is me, Sophie, Wendell, and Nick. And then we have these three over here. And then we have Tyson and Kim on the outs. And he says he feels good. And he has the maximum range of options in front of him. So we're really getting the reset here that Yule is still firmly in control of this tribe.
Yeah. And I'm cool with it. I like Yule a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he has done some fantastic things. I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll get there. So we also hear from Sophie briefly that she took a field trip to a prison once in high school. And that's what it feels like, looking at the edge of extinction.
That was a cool analogy. Really like that. It's like, we did that too when I was younger, and I feel like most kids do that. That's like, I thought that was a really cool way to phrase it.
I didn't realize that they could just see it, like, right there. I was like, whoa.
I had a bunch of friends over, and we were all also very floored by that. I was like, oh, it's literally just right there. You can, like, look, you can, like, yell across to them. It looks like,
right? Like, what if they tried to, like, build some kind of sign, like, right, hey, watch out for Adam.
Right.
So she says that the good times here are a facade. I have a feeling that that the tribe unity on Dakal not going to be super long lived, even though they did stick together in this tribal.
I agree. Like, it's like, I feel like Kim, I feel like I could see Kim easily, like, branching out and going somewhere else. It's like, she's been on the bottom for so long. I could see Sarah and Chani and Sandra going and working. I mean, it's like working with Rob and possibly Parvati. It's like, I mean, you never, like, actually, no, Rob and Sandra wouldn't work together. Would they? I don't know.
It depends on how, like, right, who tells Rob what, right?
But it's like, I almost feel like it's like, I know that Sandra has her vendetta against Rob, but it's like, I feel like they kind of need each other, you know?
They really do. It's just a matter, you know, it comes down to what we heard from Sandra in this episode later on. Like, I like revenge. I also like $2 million. I don't know. So we flip over to the Edge of Extinction, and I will say, I'm normally not a huge fan of Edge, that, you know, I don't mind it, right? Like, when I said at the start of this podcast that in our dream scenario, Edge of Extinction might not be there, I don't think that's necessarily true. I feel like in the dream scenario, Edge of Extinction is still there, but we get, like, 2-hour episodes, right?
Right, exactly.
I think the main problem with it is that the in-game content is way better. Right. And we want to see more of that. And so when Edge is taking up time, it's like, but I want to see what's happening in the strategy.
I completely agree. It's like, and even when I liked the Edge segment, like, I liked this week's Edge segment, I thought it was, like, very inspiring and, like, lovely to kind of watch Ethan's arc during the Edge, but I still missed a lot of gameplay, and I wish I would have seen that instead.
Yeah. This was a particularly good segment, though, on The Edge of Extinction, that Ethan has shown up and they have this new quest to go and get firewood one at a time from like one end of the island to the other. They have to go like 20 times. It was very reminiscent of the challenge.
Right.
It felt like a different show. It really it's entirely different content.
I was watching it with like five friends and we were like, oh, that doesn't seem that horrible. And then like halfway through, we were like, oh, okay, maybe we're wrong. Like star soccer players like collapsing. I mean, okay, we should maybe give them a little bit more credit.
Yeah. Natalie kills it, of course. She's just,
Are we going to be devastated if she doesn't come back? I think I will. Like, she deserves it so much more than anybody else.
I mean, it's like when Ethan went out, I was like, no, I need Ethan back. Now that Tyson is there, I'm like, no, I need Tyson back. But I'm seeing Natalie kill it out there, and I'm like, but I also want Natalie back.
Right. This is the problem. Like, I actually have met Tyson, and I really, really love Tyson as a person, and I love Ethan as a player and as a person, but, like, you can't deny how well Natalie's been doing, you know?
I know. I'm already like in my head bargaining with the survivor gods, like, okay, here are the two people that can come back from it.
Right. And it's like, you have to remember, even if Natalie doesn't come back this time, she gets to stay and tries. She gets
exactly.
Two tries, essentially. So I think Natalie will probably get her way back in.
She's definitely up there. I really wanted Ethan back, and I still want Ethan back, but I feel like he's still having good content on Extinction. Right. So like, if he can still find fulfillment on Extinction, then let's have Natalie back and like try her hand at the game. She was first one out. It's going to be hard either. It's hard to like root for anybody to leave over anybody else. And it's going to be hard to root for anyone to come back over anyone else.
I've always hated about Extinction is like last time. I mean, Chris won because I feel like everyone bonded so much while they were on Extinction with him. And someone had a soundbite this week about like how they all went through this experience together. And maybe it was Amber, but it was like they all bonded so intensely during this experience. And it's just like, ugh, like that's annoying. Cause like, sure. I mean, it's lovely that they're all bonding, but like, they're not playing the game. They're not making the decisions. Like if one of them goes back, the other three have like such a strong connection with them now that they're going to vote for them over like someone they never even played with, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, we had this discussion prior to the season starting where I mean, there was a lot of sort of sentiment that like, oh, these are winners. They would never vote for somebody that was on Edge of Extinction to win the game. And I was like, I don't know if we can be that certain because the very concept like reinforces itself because they're only hanging out with those people. And there's something about like, well, I'm on Edge of Extinction. I would want a chance if I was the one to get back in. And so you're already sort of justifying why it makes sense for somebody to win who was on Edge of Extinction because you're one of those people.
And
so
I feel like when there are a bunch of you left, like I would just be like, oh, if one of you makes it back, I'm going to vote for you. Like, and then I would hope that they would feel the same way about me, you know?
Yeah. And so emotionally, I think it makes sense. And strategically, it makes sense to make some kind of pact, like whichever one of us gets in, let's vote for them because it's beneficial for everyone. There's no like game theory reason. There's no even really emotional reason to not do those things. The only reason to not do it is like, oh, well, the fans might not like it.
Right. And you know, who gives a about that, like,
I do think that the winners are less likely to reward somebody from Edge of Extinction, but I don't think it's a certainty that they will.
I that is exactly how I feel. I think it probably won't happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
Yeah, I mean, especially as you mentioned, after a segment like this where we see Ethan struggling, I really for a second thought like, oh man, are we gonna lose Ethan from Edge of Extinction?
So I recently went back and rewatched a bunch of older seasons before this one. And when I was watching Micronesia, I think that's the one that's like four people are medically evacuated, or a ton of them are. And it's like, do you think they've like lessened the harshness of it a little bit so that doesn't happen? Because I feel like we really don't get the medical evacuations like we used to.
It's true. I'm not sure why that is. It's always hard to know like how much food they're being given.
Right.
I feel like
it definitely doesn't seem like they suffer food wise like they used to. Like if you go back and watch the older seasons where they're literally just like can't move because they're so starving, and like it's so I feel like they don't focus at all, barely, on the survival aspect anymore. You know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially like Ethan's original season was like one of the hardest ever. I mean, I think that in general they're probably trying to. I mean, it's not even like necessarily like we saw Caleb, right? Caleb got medevaced, right? It's not like he was in bad shape.
Like, he literally like worked. I mean, it's Caleb. Come on, like. Yeah. No normal, relatively smart person would work. They would just stop, but it's Caleb.
It's really, I think it tends to be people that overextend themselves or right. that just like get hurt, right?
Right.
Maybe we've gotten lucky lately, but yeah. And I mean, also a season like this, these are all sort of experienced
exactly.
players, right? So, yes, we see. I was worried he might be done, but he managed to get back into it. Yeah. He manages to finish, and it was pretty emotional. Like
it was very lovely. Yeah.
Walking it back to his experience with cancer, and you know, just being able to push through this, and Ethan makes me emotional every time I watch him talk.
Although, just like I guess, long story short, like when I was watching it with my friends, like just it was a lovely segment. It was super emotional, but it ended, and one of my friends just goes, "Well, that was 10 minutes of strategy we just missed." And I was like, yeah, like it's a dark response after all of it. But I was just like, yeah, you're not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yeah. Yes. But yes, as you mentioned, at the end of it, Amber is talking about like they all went up with Ethan for the last one and they bonded like nothing else. Like they're not right. playing a game like the right. others are, because only one, maybe two of them theoretically could be in the game together. We did end up seeing that happen eventually on the original season that this happened. But right. but for the most part, only one of them is really going to have a chance to win this game. And so they're not competition anymore as much. Right. Like right. they can be a lot more close. They don't have to worry about being backstabbed and voted out of Extinction Island, so they have much less incentive to like hold back in terms of exactly. the bonding experience, and they're going through these physical hardships, and so you know if Ethan was the one that came back and he's sitting in the final tribal, like are we really gonna say that somebody people like Amber and Danny, like these people that bonded with Ethan and couldn't care less about anybody else, so maybe Amber would vote for, you know, Rob over Ethan, obviously, but
right. if it's like Ethan and like Ben and like Nick,
right.
it's like Ethan, like
well yeah, so overall a good segment here on Extinction, yeah. although I'm with your friend that that was 10 minutes of strategy that we missed right. out on. We do see a great conversation between Michelle and Rob. Rob is playing the what do they call it? It was the tiki something. We figured this out last time. Tiki toss, I think, is what it's called.
I don't pay that much attention. I have no idea.
She's like, "Man, I didn't realize how long ago you guys played, you and Parvati." And he was like, "Yeah, it was like, how old are you now? Yeah, you were 19 when I won, when I played last. You were 9 when I first played."
Yeah, crazy.
It is. And she says, like, yeah, you know, my first time I struggled with some of the backlash that I got because my win was controversial. And we see Rob come in just like, hey. You win. The end. That's
right, right. And I pretty much agree with that, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you are somebody that, you had a dominant game, but you had a controversial reaction to you have your fair share of haters as well, right? Right. And I feel like you are definitely a proponent of like, hey, I've got 500K in the bank.
Right. Well, and it's like, I think that my game has kind of aged well. I feel I don't get the hate anymore, and I feel like a lot of people seem to appreciate it more now, which I appreciate. But it's just like, after working hard all summer and getting out and people being like, "You sucked, you didn't do anything." It was like, oh yeah, okay, yikes, that sucks a little bit. But also it's like, a win's a win, you know?
Yeah, well, it must be like such a strange experience because especially for you, right? Because you did play such a great game. I'm sure you are like, after you win, you must be thinking like, "I just did a great job," right. And then you come out and there's just a bunch of people like, "You suck. You shouldn't have won."
The thing that shocked me is like, sure, I get fans that don't get it, but even like alums, like there were like Dan Geesling was just like, "Oh, he didn't do anything." And like, I was just like, there were alums there where I was just like, "You know this." And like, how did you not watch what I was doing and get it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's can do you sort of see why Michelle like might have this sort of, because totally. It's definitely it seems to me like this is her storyline for the season, right? Yeah. Because it's the thing that we're being,
that's like kind of an advantage of being a winner that's not looked at as like a super great winner, because like, sure, I mean, you possess all the qualities of a winner. Like, you are social and you are strategic and you are charming and you are easy to get along with and you make people like you, but also like, you don't seem as threatening as everyone else. And so I think that that's like a really good position to be in, to be viewed as like not saying you are a weaker winner, but to have the perception of being a weaker winner is a really good place to be in a season like this.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, if there was a Big Brother all winter season, and you were in it, right? Right. Like, how concerned are you as somebody who I think now is probably considered to be one of the top tier winners? Like, how concerned are you with your legacy, with your reputation for as a winner when you're playing a game like that?
I mean, I'm not, I really don't care that much about legacy or anything. I mean, it's flattering being known as like a good winner, but it's just like, I wanted to like play the game. I wanted to win. I wanted to live a dream. I didn't really care like what people thought, which, I mean, the way that I played, it's like, I could have made like grandiose, bigger moves, but instead I made like the smaller, less satisfying moves, because I knew that's how I would win. Mm-hmm. If I played again, I think I would have to play a lot differently. I don't think I could be as quiet and as like insidious as I was the first time. So I think I would actually maybe be a little bit more likable this time. Cause like, if someone's annoying me, I could tell them to go fuck themselves, because like, I don't have to just like walk on eggshells. Mm. I also think that like, I now know kind of like what it's like to like, I would like give like updates to the feedsters. I think I know like a little bit more of the ins and outs of what it means to be like likable by the fans. And I'm not saying I would totally cater my game to be liked by fans, but it's like, I know now like little things here and there to do. And then my thing is, I worry just because I'm not that close with a lot of winners, if any. Like, it's like, I have
one of the unconnecteds.
I am like, right. I have a pretty good network of, actually not, I mean, it's like, I can count on a couple of hands, but it's like, I have some really good friends that I've made from my experience on Big Brother, from my season and from other seasons, but none of them are winners. You know what I'm saying? And I know that a few winners like actually don't like me. And so yep. I feel like I like could get in trouble there. The weird thing is, I feel like, I mean, barring myself and a few other people, I feel like I'm just about to sound like such an asshole and I'm half kidding, but it's like, I feel like the coolest, most likable, like most normal people like don't normally win. And so it's like, if I would like to, like, I think I would fare much better on a like returning player season if they threw in a couple winners and I was one of them. But if it was an all winner season, I could see it going many different ways with me. I think if someone that really doesn't like me got it right away, they could just put me up immediately. Or I think I could fade in the background. And I think like one of my big skills is adapting. I think I would be able to like adapt to the situation. If I saw tension among a few other people, I would like try to stoke that. And I would try to just kind of, I would try to kind of be like a Sophie, you know, on this season, like,
yeah.
Oh, who is he? Like, why are we like, why is he here? Why are we worried right. about him? But truly, I think that's like, if people are forgetting your name, that's a good thing at this point in the game.
Yeah. All right. So I think, you know, we're definitely seeing the scene with Rob and Michelle to sort of, again, indicate, that Rob like, I think it's Survivor's not always great at showcasing social bonds, right. because they don't have very much time, right? And it's always so focused on advantages and challenges and tribal and the strategizing right before tribal that it's hard to really focus on, you know, the relationships. And that's what Boston Rob is always talking about. Oh, this game is about relationships. And so I think we're seeing a little bit of that here. The sort of thing that gives him the credibility to later on in this scene, come up with a lie about Adam. So we hear from Jeremy that, Adam is like one of his children. He knows that they're disappointed in him. So he's trying to soften things up, and now all of a sudden he is the hardest working guy at camp.
Right, that was a funny little montage. Yeah,
yeah, and he's just like walking around with water. He's like, "Hey, does anybody need this?"
People kept like being like, "No," like, it's like, "Do you want this food? I made this soup for you, and now I don't want it." Like, it's like that, you know, like it's just like people are a little bit annoyed. I think.
Yeah, he's like digging around for like firewood. He's like, "Oh," he's just kind of like slips over. It's great stuff there.
Right.
There is a quick scene where Denise is talking. Denise says, I think to Ben or somebody, like, "Oh, Adam has changed around camp today. Like, now he's different." different. And we still haven't heard from Denise how she feels about the whole Adam situation.
Right.
And that scene kind of made it seem like she really was with the others in kind of feeling bad about Adam, but it was set up that they were supposed to be a duo. And so I'm lost on where Denise stands right now.
Right. I wish we heard a little bit more from her, because she's also like very well spoken, and I think just one confessional and we would know exactly what, like, I wish they gave us just a little teeny soundbite or something like that to know where her head is. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I really like her. She's one of my favorites, and I'm just hoping that not seeing a lot of her means that she's going to stick around for a little bit longer, which I like.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So Jeremy lets us know, as long as Adam keeps this up, they'll keep him around. It'll be all right.
Right.
Rob and Parvati, they have a different idea happening. That they, Rob's like, I hate being at the mercy of everyone else. I don't like this. Parvati tells us that she feels the need to avenge Ethan because he gave her his fire token, and they had a pretty close bond there. Right. In the tribe, it seemed. So they're going to pitch to Adam. And I love this. They're pitching to Adam because they're trying to get him in trouble. He recognizes that they're trying to get him in trouble, and he's shutting them down. He's not giving them any ammunition. He says to us, he's like, I know they're looking for something to hang me with. I'm not going to give it to them. I'm not going to fall into this trap. But the problem is that it doesn't matter if he falls into the trap, because Rob is going to come up with something. He's like, he goes to Parvati. He's like, should we bury him?
And then she's like, yeah, just like so nonchalantly. I actually really like that.
Yeah. Rob tells us, hey, this is Survivor. I got to lie, buddy. This is not going to be good for Adam here.
Like, do we? So, I mean, they had that. Like, Michelle was like, they had like a confessional of Michelle being like, that Adam, like, I cannot believe he did that. And it's just like, so Michelle believed it. Like, it's,
yes,
Michelle believed Rob and Parvati.
This definitely was portrayed that that Rob came up with the lie. He goes up to Michelle and Jeremy. He's like, so what should I do about Adam? He's already trying to talk to me, you know, doing the thing. What am I supposed to say to him? It seemingly Jeremy and Michelle completely eat this up. Michelle tells us,
you know what Jeremy did? Like, I feel like I could totally see Jeremy giving a confessional being like,
So here's what we see. We see Michelle in confessional be like, oh, Adam, why are you doing this? You gotta go. And then we see Michelle ask Jeremy, what name do you feel comfortable with right now?
Right.
And Jeremy says, Adam, he's got to go. This is too much. I can't keep up with all of this. He's got to go.
It's just like, I like love Rob and Parvati, but I'm also just like, how are you not, like, I don't know, how are you not doing this?
Right?
If I were playing with Rob and Parvati, I would just be like, literally nothing you say I'm ever going to believe.
Yeah. And like, we're constantly hearing from, it's so funny because I feel like, you know, Jeremy and Michelle are playing on this level that they're trying to play like, you know, a top level game, right? They're trying to be in control. They're trying to, you know, do things like, might not seem like common sense, but don't worry, I've got something planned out. I feel like Adam was trying to play on a level even above that.
Right.
And it was too much. And then we have like Ben, who's just like a little bit more common sense. And in some respects, that's a little bit better because he's the one that's constantly like, guys, they're dangerous.
Right.
Rob and Parvati need to go.
They're so dangerous.
Don't give them any rope. They'll hang us.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
And so that seems to be the status quo here for Cele, that Adam is the one in danger if they lose this challenge. And then we head over to Call once again, and we're going to get a Tyson segment here. He's been bonding. He's been spending this time trying to bond with people. Him and Sarah have been bonding.
Yeah.
They've been having a lot of fun. Definitely not a connection that I would have anticipated prior to the season.
Either. Agreed. It was like, I just really don't like Sarah, but I feel like this segment kind of humanized her a little bit. It was like, I feel like so many people always talk about how like in Game Changers, I feel like they were all just so, they all liked her so much. And I just never got it.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the first times where I was like, oh, I can actually see she's being like goofy and she's being fun and she's being silly. And I actually can kind of see her being likable. I feel like she always just seems so like bug-eyed and serious and worried. And like, just, she like makes me anxious watching her.
Yes.
And I feel like it was nice seeing her in a different light.
Absolutely. It's exactly what I was thinking. Like, Game Changers was, I feel like, the epitome of Survivor being unable to translate relationships right. in the show. And I do think they're doing a bit better here. Like I said, trying to showcase Rob's relationships, right. trying to showcase Sarah's. She had a secret scene last week where she talked about how she feels like she's making friendships and that they're really bonding on this tribe. And we're going to get some of that here, where she's now bonding with Tyson. And this is the first time that I am seeing, as you mentioned, the Sarah from Game Changers that everybody talked about, everybody thought was their best friend, and then she stabbed them in the back. And so I'm like, I'm starting to appreciate, and I did appreciate Sarah's game before, but I think I'm starting to really understand it better and appreciate it on a new level.
In Game Changers, I definitely wanted Sarah to win. I mean, when you've got a final three that consists of Culpepper and Troyzan, it's like, of course I wanted Sarah to win. But I like seeing her as more human.
Mm-hmm. So Tyson says that, you know, while everybody else is, you know, all kumbaya, he's kind of got his head in the game and he's starting to think about the tribe. He says, when I sit back and I look at the whole tribe, I'm noticing that all the one timers, they could be, they're kind of in control here, right? It's Yule, Nick, Wendell.
What's her face?
That other one, Sophie. She's so far under the radar, I forgot her name.
Right.
And I loved that. I've been saying for weeks that Sophie's in the best spot in the game, and I think that's a perfect explanation as to why.
Right. No, I completely agree. And it's like, I go back and forth on, I kind of think Tyson's right. It's like, I mean, Tyson, Sandra, Tony, Kim, and Sarah should be in together, because I mean, the other four are clearly together, but it's like, I guess with a swap coming up, who knows? And so I guess like the one, because it seemed like the other three were pretty on board with getting rid of Nick, but Sandra was the one that wasn't. And I guess like Tyson did say that he was coming after Sandra. And so I feel like with that being out there, I guess I kind of understand her wanting to get rid of him. But a part of me is just like, I don't know if it was the right move, because he was also like just as big of a target as she was. And with him there, like, lessens the spotlight on her, and now with him gone, I feel like, will the spotlight be bigger on her? You know, like, that's why the season's so interesting. There are so many variables with every possible choice that's made.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of different angles to look at this this particular tribal. What I was surprised most about here is that this is apparently the first time that anybody has even recognized that these four are in control of the tribe.
Right.
And so Tyson is going to go and pitch this idea to Tony and Sandra. And it's so under the radar. Like, Yule and Sophie and Wendell and Nick have been doing such a good job of keeping that alliance a secret that Tyson pitches this and Sandra's like, nah, that's shady. That's a lie. Don't believe it. Like, Sandra can't see this. Of all people, like, that is impressive to me. They've been on that tribe for 10 days.
Yeah, I agree.
So Sandra says, look, I don't care as long as it's not me.
Right.
And Tyson says, it's gonna be you soon.
Something. I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah. But Sandra tells us he threw the first stone and he's gotta go.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of been Sandra's whole arc the whole season. It's like, oh, this person pissed me off. You know, like, and it has been, which, like, I guess, like, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there, you know?
Yeah. So we get to the immunity challenge, and I will say again, it was another good challenge. I feel like I'm not really a challenge person, first of all, that key that they had to jump for was so high.
Yeah.
And they clearly didn't see that, because they picked all their shortest members.
That's what I thought was so weird. It was like Denise, Parvati, and Adam, right?
Yeah, I wonder if they thought, like, these are our best swimmers. So let's pick them. But clearly it was all about the jump. Basically Adam is the only one even close to capable. Although I guess Parvati did get one, right?
I think Parvati got one.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's the only...
Denise is like 5 foot.
Right. Like, she tried once and she was like, well, this isn't happening.
Right.
So Adam is having to, like, go over and over and over again. And I was very confident that Dekal was going to tribal. And I did start to, I was like, are they really going to catch up? I mean, they're really far behind.
Right.
But I did still feel like there was the pessimist inside of me was like, wouldn't let my hope get too high. And so I just knew that they were still going to be able to catch up.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Of course, we also see that Sandra is sitting out once again, and Parvati names the bench the Sandra bench. This is like the second time in a row that they really made a point of pointing out that Sandra's sitting out. I don't know how much relevance that's going to have. Maybe it was just to set up the fact that it's Sandra's bench. But I do wonder if in a swapped tribe, her sitting out is going to impact her her ability to stay safe in a in a small tribe.
How long was her idol good for? Is it still good?
It was good for three tribals, so that's actually it should be good for one more tribal.
Okay, okay.
Assuming they meant tribals that she attends, which is what I do assume.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's actually a good point, and we might see some crazy stuff go down if she's targeted and has an idol that she has to use. So she's sitting, and I love that it's her and Tony sitting on the bench, giving commentary. Sandra and Boston Rob at Tribal last season was great, but I would really love to see Sandra and Tony give commentary for a whole season.
No, they were very fun sitting on the bench. I enjoyed them. Like, when Tony was just like, fall, fall, fall.
Yeah. All right. So it's a big come from behind victory. Rob and Michelle managed to put the puzzle together very quickly. I feel like we've had four episodes so far. We were like, Boston Rob in episode one, what a challenge beast. Boston Rob in episode two, what a fail.
Yeah.
Episode three. Oh, maybe. Nope, didn't. You came close, but no. And now this one is like, whoa, what a comeback. So he's having a wild ride here.
I was listening to Robin Stevens' podcast earlier today, and they were saying, like, do you think there's any potential that Nick or, like, the other tribe threw that to get rid of Tyson?
So I have seen some speculation about that, but there was nothing in the episode indicated it. And then also there was actually a secret scene that I pointed out that I was going to bring up later, but we can bring it up now. When it's DeKal getting tree mail secret scene, and there are confessionals from people like Nick saying, we feel confident, or it might've been Wendell as well. Like, we feel confident about our ability to win this chat. Like, we feel good. We want to win, and we think we're going to do it. I felt like that probably they did not throw this, but you never really know until they come out and say
it. It was just such a crazy loss. Like, it was like he had done the puzzle before. I don't know. Like, it was just so crazy that he messed it up so badly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, we get, that Adam tells us at the end of the challenge that, he was told in eighth grade that when he sets his mind to something, he gets that something. And I've heard this story a few times now.
I don't, like, me and all my friends were all just like eye roll. Like, we were like, okay, we were like, you sucked at the challenge. Like, the reason you guys won was because of the puzzle builders. I don't know. I thought that was kind of an annoying, confessional.
Yeah, he's emotional. He's had a rough couple days. So we come back to DeKal. Tyson says, okay, we do the normal thing. We pat the puzzle makers on the back. We tell them it wasn't their fault, but it is their fault.
I like that. I thought that was like such a funny, like, that was a funny observation that you all, like, I always think that as a viewer, when they do that, I'm always just like, but it was the puzzle maker's fault. Like, when they really lose the puzzle, they come back and everyone's so nice. And I thought that was a funny, like, vocalization of that.
Mm-hmm. He says, this is great for me because I want to pitch Nick as the target. And so, he goes to, you know, Sarah, he goes to Tony, he goes to Yule, and Yule's like, yeah, I'm down. Yule says, Nick, he doesn't contribute at camp. He literally just consumes.
I like that sound, but Yule just is so smart. I like everything he says, but like, I love Tyson. I just like felt bad for him during this. It was like, you knew, like, as someone that's played before, as someone who, like, after a while it becomes hard. Once you know that someone is like a dead man or woman walking, it becomes hard to like placate them. So like, they come to you and they make their pitch and you're just kind of laying there and you're in your head. You're like, I don't care what you're saying. I am voting you out. Like, nothing you can say will change my mind. But outwardly you're just like, oh yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. And like, that's what I saw a lot. It was like people were not even doing that good of a job. I thought of being like, oh, I'm definitely with you. They were just like, okay. Like, when he was like, he was like, it's Nick. And people were like, yeah, sure. Like, it's like, you could tell that, like, I don't know, as someone who's been there before, Like, I was like, people are phoning this in. I thought, just watching those interactions, I thought he was doomed.
That's something I always give as advice for like future players of the show. It's like, if you propose a plan and people are just like, yeah, like offer no resistance, no contribution. Right. That is that is a red flag.
Seriously. Yes. Like 100%. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, and this was, I felt personally that this was the weakest misdirect of the season thus far.
I agree. I like going into the tribal and my friends were like, do you think it'll be Nick? And I was like, no, I was like, I love Tyson and I'm sad. I would much rather it be Nick, but I was like, I think it's going to be Tyson.
Yeah. Nick has had one confessional in the last four hours of the show. They're not going to, they don't usually send that person home.
I mean, they did. I just recently rewatched, Second Chance, and I don't think, like, I don't know why my brain works like this, but I think Kelly Wigglesworth went home and did not have a single confessional in the episode where she went home. Like, go back and, like, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm nearly positive. I was like, wow, I don't think she said anything.
I do think that they do that sometimes, but they usually have had confessionals in previous episodes, right? Like, leading up to it.
Yes, you're right. And Nick has had, like, one, maybe?
He had one in the first, like, 5 minutes of the show. Wow. And then his second one was last night.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, it was pretty crazy there for Nick. But yeah, so, I, and again, very impressive from Yule's point of view here, that Tyson is actually going to Yule to pitch this idea.
Right.
And even though he's recognized that these four are potentially running the show, that he still feels comfortable enough with Yule to pitch this idea to Yule. And Yule is able to, you know, he just consumes. So Tyson tells us he needs to start dictating the direction of his game. This is very much, you know, the opposite of what he said in the premiere when he said that, I need to give up control and just anybody but me. So he's trying to do the opposite here, and it's not going to work. So everyone's pretending to be on board, as you said. This is your typical sort of everyone knows what's happening. But it does seem like he gets through to Tony and Sarah to some degree. Wendell tells us that Tyson is a dead man walking. Wendell's explanation here, he says, Tyson is too well connected. If he links back up with Rob or Parv, they could do a lot of damage together.
It's like, that's kind of when I was trying to put my head in myself in Sandra's head. If Sandra hates Rob and is going against Rob, I feel like Sandra could totally see Tyson as a Rob number. Mm-hmm. So I guess that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. Yule lets Nick know that Tyson is trying to target him. Nick's like, why me? I like Tyson. He's one of my favorite players, but now it's like me or him, and I'm really nervous.
Yeah. I mean,
Nick is like, where I think Nick and Adam both come into this season as like the huge fans of the show that like won pretty recently. But where Adam is trying to be like, and now I want to like be the top dog of all these winners. I feel like Nick is a little bit more on the side of like, I'm still just like a fan here and look at all these people playing around me. And it'll be interesting to see which one ends up being more successful.
I agree.
So Tyson is going to pitch to Tony. And like I said, I think he kind of gets through to Tony here. He says, we're the two biggest targets. And if Tony tells us, if it were up to me, I'd get rid of Nick. Nick is a number, but Tyson is but Nick is not a shield. Tyson is a shield and a number, maybe. And so he doesn't want to lose Tyson. He talks to Sarah. Sarah pitches to Kim. Kim seems on board. And so Sarah tells us that this all hinges on Sandra.
Yeah. Which is so crazy that like Sandra's like slipping by like this. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, Sandra's my favorite player of all time. And I just love that like she's just not even a question of like elimination.
Yeah. Tony pitches to Sandra. He says, I think we should maybe consider this. And Sandra's like, what, you think Tyson is right then, that what he's saying? And Tony's like, yeah. And she's like, that is a good point. But I don't trust Tyson. He's too dangerous. And so she tells us, I don't play off of emotion. I like revenge, but I like $2 million even more. And she is the most qualified to know what $2 million is like.
Right. She's the only one.
Yeah. Although I guess Boston Rob and Amber together, plus the $1 million they got paid for like their wedding television rights or whatever, if I'm remembering correctly. So they've got plenty of millions. I am very interested in this decision here. Theoretically, this decision came down to Sandra, but it might not have. I was actually a little bit like, was Kim really on board?
Right.
You know, she has told Sophie about her idol. She's clearly been trying to make inroads. We've heard from Yule outside of the game a little bit that him and Sophie were trying to pull Kim in as a basically insurance against Sandra, Tony, and Sarah. And so I do wonder if Kim was actually a part of this and willing to be on board, or maybe she actually kind of ratted them out. Tony? I tweeted out that, hey, Tony trying to save Tyson, am I dreaming right now?
Right.
And Nick actually replied to that tweet. He said, editing.
Okay.
So who knows? It's hard to say. We're going to have probably,
I guess they do have to do whatever they can to make, like, if Tyson truly was a dead man walking, which it looked like he was, I guess they have to like have something to make it seem like there's
exactly
possible other vote, you know?
And like I said, I felt like this was the weakest misdirect they've had so far. So they might have really been pulling to make something that was potentially completely fabricated. But but either way, I think we're seeing that Tyson puts up a good fight at the very least, and basically came up with the best argument he could have, given that it was real. But the choice. So theoretically, let's assume that the choice did come down to Sandra and she did have this option, right? I think that it ultimately in her head comes down to, I can either keep the tribe strong and the unity strong and not go against the Yule people, or I can side with Tyson and keep all the big targets together and take out one of those four. And so I think that her reasoning ultimately is that there is a swap coming up and keeping the tribe unified is going to be best for anybody's chances in a swap situation
because
they have the numbers, right?
Because the swap was what totally screwed her in Game Changers. It's like she was running things and then she was just like in the minority and bam, like, you know, like.
Right. And that seems to be what the ultimate call that is made is about. So the question becomes, without knowing the results of the swap or what ends up happening, does this tribe stick together? Do we think this is the right call? I think that there is some argument to be made that like, oh, it's Tyson. You can't really trust him. He was just coming after Sandra. At the same time, like, Tyson was on the bottom. He was throwing out any names that could work. It wasn't anything personal. It's not like he needs Sandra gone in particular. She was just somebody that he thought might go instead of him. So I don't think there's anything really like personally offensive about that.
No.
But Sandra does tend to take those things personally. Yeah. So that definitely was an impact in Sandra's decision, but not one that I would have had as much impact for my decision if I was in that position. But at the same time, it is an indicator of Tyson's overall gameplay, which is that he is willing to throw anybody under the bus, given any circumstance.
Players like that are scary. Like, for sure. I would not like that. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I do think it's a tough call. If Tyson does reunite with Rob, for Sandra, that really could be a bad thing because Rob will probably find out that Sandra was probably behind the Amber thing. And then with Tyson
Tyson is if all Sandra has to go on is who's saying my name, Tyson's the only one that has. And so get rid of him, you know?
Yep. But at the same time, the Yule, Sophie, Nick, Wendell thing is so dangerous.
Do you think that Sandra knows how dangerous that is?
I think that's the problem. I think that Sandra is making this decision without full knowledge of the danger of the other side, right? Yeah. And so when she's looking at two potentially dangerous options, and one is like, I know who Tyson is, and the other is, well, they might be controlling the game, but they might not be controlling the game, then, you know, I think that decision becomes a little bit easier. But when we do know that they are controlling the game, and we also know that, as we see in the preview, that Wendell has some connection to Michelle. Like, these are not connectionless people entirely. I have a feeling that this decision might end up working against against these people here.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. But it's a tough call, and you know, I can definitely see why they made it. Right. With all the uncertainty, they have to be feeling so good too that they have the numbers. The last time there was like heroes versus villains, the tribe that got the numbers after the merge just steamrolled to the end, right? And so they must be feeling like, we might have this. Like, all we need to do is maneuver within our tribe, and we might actually have this because of the challenges. But, you know, potentially not. Right. So we head to tribal, and they talk about being a cohesive tribe. They're concerned about the swap stuff. I love this. Again, another great comment from Yule, who's like, you know, coming into this, I kind of thought Tony was going to be an asshole. But yeah, he's actually great, and people like him.
I mean, yet again, I just think Yule is doing so much right. And I think that is like a perfect thing to say. It's like, it almost endears him to people and endears him to Tony even, you know, like mm-hmm. seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Yule. I loved, like, Yule was one of my favorite winners of all time when he won. And then, like, it had been so long that, and like, I feel like I had kind of, because I was always an adamant defender of Yule. Like, no, it doesn't matter that he had the God Idol. He would have done well anyway. But over time, I got used to kind of just being like, well, I think Yule's great, but I can understand why people might think because of the God Idol. But now we're seeing Yule, like, dominate, and I'm like, yes.
No, I completely agree. Yule was like one of my favorites going in, and people were like, Yule, and I'm glad that he's been like verifying that I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, like me from like, you know, 12 years ago or however long it was, feels so vindicated right now. So Nick is actually gonna vote for Kim in tribal, just in case Tyson has an idol. I don't know if he ran this by everybody else, or if this was kind of like a last minute rogue kind of just in case, but I do like the move ultimately, because he's completely right. If Tyson has an idol, he's screwed. But if he votes Kim, he's okay. Right. So not too much to lose there. And then Tyson ultimately is going to be voted out here. Very, very sad. Tyson.
I like here's the thing which I was surprised by. I really like Tyson. Like, I had like friends over, and in past episodes, like, my friends, I don't know if it's just who I hang out with, do not really like or care about Tyson. Like, I wonder if it's just like, I don't know, because I've met him and I like him in person, and I think he's like very personable, but like, the average viewer, at least according to the sample size that I have in my apartment, did not give a shit about Tyson.
I think the viewers tend to have like a polarizing response. They either love Tyson or they're like, they don't get it. And I think that, as you know, and I know, if you meet him, he's so great. That if you were on the fence, you'd immediately be like, I get him now.
Before I met him, I was kind of on the fence, and then I met him and I was like, oh, he's very charming. I really like him.
Yeah. He's
Denise is too. Denise is like one of the most charming alums I've ever met. I had like a 2-hour long conversation with Denise one night and just thought she was a complete gem.
That's awesome. I have not met Denise, but I can imagine that she would be.
Yeah. So easy to talk to, which, like, I mean, she's a therapist. She is, but like, she is as easy to talk to as you would think.
All right. So Tyson is voted out. He has to bequeath a fire token. He'd rather swallow it, but he can't. Right. So he ends up bequeathing to Nick. He says, all right, here's a fire token from your hero, Nick. And I don't know if this was meant to be strategic or if he was just like, I don't care. But I actually really like the move.
Yeah. Because I kind of think it was an I don't care, but also
Because, I mean, if you think about it, right? Tyson has a chance to come back into the game. Right. And the people that, you know, if he does come back, the person that is just never going to trust Tyson is the person that Tyson had been targeting. Because he's going to, if Tyson comes back, Nick is going to feel like, well, he's going to want me out again. He wanted me out before. I didn't know why. He's going to want me out again. But by bequeathing the token to Nick, it's kind of like, hey, look, it wasn't anything personal. Right. I'm not holding a grudge. Here's a token. I don't, now that I'm out of the game, I don't care. If I come back in, clean slate.
Cool. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Honestly, probably more likely that it was an I don't care thing, but in terms of analyzing it theoretically, I like the move. So that is the episode. We did get a couple of secret scenes. Ethan feeling very defeated on Extinction, he was very upset about being voted out, which made me sad. Like I said, DeKal felt very confident about the challenge. We all got a scene from Kim, that she is missing her kids. Last time she was very strategic. She was single. But this time she says she's giving herself permission to be emotional to the other players. And there's a scene of her. And now I'm forgetting. I think it was with Sarah, if I'm not mistaken. But correct me if I'm wrong here in the chat. But she is literally like sobbing about missing her kids to somebody on the beach. And I was like, this is nuts. I've never seen this side of Kim.
Right. I love Kim. I actually want to look that up. I've not seen that.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And it's because it's Kim, like right. She's tying it into like who she is as a strategist as well. And like how what this means for her game.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to look that up like as soon as we end this.
Yeah. So I'm the whole Kim situation this whole season has been so interesting because she's in such a different position. Yeah. So really interested to see where that goes. We also heard from Cele when they got treatment. Ben in confessional, a little bit of a different line than he had in the episode. He says that the strategy that they're working on right now is that they are planning to keep Rob and Parvati. I wonder if this was after Rob had already made up the lie about Adam, right, and so right. Now they have a new strategy, and Ben has been convinced that the strategy is Rob and Parvati are very big targets, and so we want to head into the swap with those two right. players right. so that they get targeted ahead of us. And Ben seems on board with this. And this to me is further confirmation that the edit is not selling us some kind of lie, that it really, really probably would have been Adam if they had gone to tribal.
Wow. Yeah. Good for Robin Parvati.
Yeah. So that's about what we have for the episode. We saw the preview that next episode we are going to have a swap. And that means I imagine it's 15 people left, if I'm not mistaken, which means three tribes of five.
Yeah, either probably. That or, like, I don't think they're going to bring someone back from the edge so soon.
No, I don't think so.
I would say it's either three tribes of five or like they bring someone back and it's 8 and 8, but I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, they've done the thing where it's like one person just go sit out for right. a while, and then when whichever tribe loses, you know, you'll replace that person. But it seems more likely that it'll be three tribes of five, which is pretty nuts. Like, that's really just like taking the box and shaking the whole thing. And yeah. any results could come of
right.
this.
Right.
It does seem like Michelle is going to get put on a tribe with Wendell. Wendell right. is who she's talking about in the preview as her ex. And I imagine, I mean, they seem to be on pretty good terms. And even if you are an ex, like having any kind of outside connection, even if they weren't like on good terms, it's kind of still like, but we should still work together.
Yeah, good terms right now. Yeah.
Right. So I have to imagine that Michelle swaps pretty well, as does Wendell. If the two yeah. of them are able to connect, then they should be pretty safe. I don't want to like jinx anything or anything.
I agree with Yule and two other people, and Yule's like, I know that those two dated. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's true. So yeah, I mean, really, I think the bottom line here is that literally anything could happen. This could swap in a bunch of different ways. Rob, Parvati and Kim could swap onto a tribe of five, and now all of a sudden Rob and Parvati are back in the majority because they're able right. to reel Kim back in. Right. And you know, so it literally anything could happen.
Yeah.
So very, very intrigued to see what goes down. I feel like we got enough of, you know, both tribes. Like I said, the Cele sort of storyline throughout the season so far has been awesome. DeKal, we did lose, you know, a couple of people, but I felt like that storyline was a little more straightforward, that if they yeah. had kept going in that way, that we would have just seen those four just kind of wreck shop right. and go down to the end. So a shakeup is going to be very fun. I'm very excited.
Agreed.
All right. Are you ready now for the Legacy Watch?
Yeah.
All right. So here, this is where we are here. There we have a visual if you're watching along on YouTube. If you're not, that's fine. We're gonna read it out as we go. So what we do here is every week we put the winners into four different tiers, and we see how the each episode is impacting how people see the winners and what tier they place them in. So very curious to see what happens this week with the Legacy Watch. I do want to make a quick note from last week that there were some minor adjustments made to the scores. As I said, I keep the survey up for the rest of the week after the podcast airs, but no major changes, nothing, nobody swapped places or anything like that. So, all right. Are you able to see this, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about, where we stand, as of last week? We've got Sandra, Parvati, and Rob up there on the legend tier.
Okay. I would put Kim in there, but that's just me.
Well, that's, so Kim started there.
Oh,
but after the premiere, she fell.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. I totally get what you're saying. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's fine that she's where she is then.
Then we have Yule, Tony, Jeremy, Kim, Tyson, Sophie, Sarah, and Natalie on the top tier.
Okay. Well, I think Tyson's obviously going to fall.
We have Wendell, Denise, Ethan, Michelle, who actually rose a bit here after last week's episode, Adam and Nick in the middle tier. Adam fell after last week's episode.
I think Denise should be higher. I think Denise is in a really good spot.
Yeah, you know, I initially had thought Denise was a top tier player, a winner, but when I had the audience vote, they placed her more middle tier, and she's been hovering around there the whole time. I don't think she's gotten enough content.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that's invisible is good. And I don't know. I think Denise should be in the top tier.
Yeah. I mean,
Wendell too, actually.
I completely, Wendell has actually fallen from the top tier
Wendell should be up there too.
Well,
for sure.
What I'm finding interesting here is that, you know, we're seeing like real time how the audience responds, not based on who deserves what, but based on what they're seeing, what they're being shown.
Right.
And so, you know, Wendell not getting a lot of content has slowly eroded his, you know, following. And I think another thing too, is that, you know, we initially saw Kim fall from, legend tier into down into the top tier, but I think there is also like a rebalancing, right? Like the initial reaction is big and then it kind of starts to normalize and come back a little bit. So, all right. So let's get to, what happened this week. We can start here, at the top, or let's start at the bottom. Actually, no, we'll start at the top. So in the legend tier, we have Boston Rob leapfrogging over Parvati and Sandra back into first place.
Okay.
After this week's episode, a strong showing. The lie about Adam was very impressive. Yeah. And Parvati is actually also going to leapfrog over Sandra a bit there.
I
think some people did not agree with Sandra's call, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Parvati
I want to see more from Parvati. I think we haven't really gotten a lot of Parvati content. I mean, I know that I think Parvati is like going to stay up there because people just really love Parvati. But if you actually are a little bit objective, like, we've gotten a muted Parvati this season so far, and I want to see more from her.
Yeah, I completely agree. And she has been falling, actually, because you know, she's been targeted and she is not getting a lot of content. She started out at the top of the legend tier and has slowly been falling every week. Rob has been, you know, a little bit up and down. Sandra started in third place, rose up, and now has fallen back down. So there's a little bit of movement here, but they are still very strong up there in the top three. Yule is somebody that briefly had a short period of time in the legend tier, then fell back to the top tier.
He should be. He's playing great.
And this week we did see that Yule is back up in the legend tier. Yes. Strong episode from Yule, and he has managed to squeeze in. Now he's really still hovering around the very edge. So he could easily fall back down next week if he doesn't get a big episode, but he is really, you know, Yule is definitely somebody who by the end of the season might be able to solidify a spot there in the legend tier. All right. So here at the top tier, we've got Tony. Still there.
Okay.
Still strong. Tony actually moved up a little bit this episode. People liked what they saw.
I did too. And I'm not a huge Tony fan, and I was into him this episode.
Yeah. Tony actually starting to get close to that legend tier line. Okay. He's still a decent ways away. Well, not a decent, he's still just like, he's further than Yule has been, right. but close enough that he's in striking distance for sure. Okay. Then we have Jeremy still there behind Tony in the top tier. Not much movement from Jeremy, right. Not super close to legend tier, but pretty firmly, at the top, area of the top tier. After Jeremy is still Kim. Kim, not much movement this week. We didn't really see much from her. You know, like I said, we initially saw Kim fall quite a bit and then slowly start to work her way up. And she is not working up really anymore. I think she's kind of hit the limit now. So I think from this point, if she wants to continue to move up, we're going to have to see something more from her, based on what I'm seeing. So then, after Kim, we have Sarah,
okay,
who is going to jump over Sophie and Tyson, and move up behind Kim. Sarah with a big move forward. I think she was the one of the biggest moves forward this episode.
Like I said, this is one of the only episodes where I've ever actually really liked her, and so like I'm into that.
Yeah, I like we talked about, I think that not only did she have a good showing in this episode, to a decent degree at least, but I think that also this episode helped clarify part of her win previously, which helps with her legacy. All right, so after Sarah is Sophie, who also is going to jump past Tyson. Sophie has climbed. She started in the middle tier, has climbed up to the top tier, and has been pretty steady in the top tier ever since.
Be like higher in the top tier. I think Sophie's in maybe the best position of anyone. But
I completely agree. I've been saying all season long, I think Sophie's in the best spot. However, I do think that we're hearing less and less from Sophie in each episode, and I think that's not helping.
Everything we do hear from her is good. Like it's like she
yes, completely.
Yeah.
Also, she looked great. I really love the look she's got going on. I don't know what has changed, but her in Tribal, I was just like, she looks awesome. Like she looks badass.
I agree.
Really loving what we're seeing from Sophie. I hope we hear more, because you're right. Every line we get from her is just awesome. All right. So after Sophie is Tyson. He has not fallen enough to go below the top tier down into middle tier. He's hanging on here in the top tier.
He's horrible on this episode.
Here's my theory. I mean, first of all, this is the RHAP audience. We're going to be a little bit biased toward Tyson. He did fall quite a bit, but I think that this was still a decent episode for him. This wasn't a Tyson screwed up and got himself voted out episode. This was Tyson was screwed, put up a really good fight, but still lost.
I guess, but he just had absolutely no awareness of I thought his he didn't have any idea what was going on, which I didn't like, but still, I mean, I like him, so I get it.
Yeah. And then after Tyson is Natalie, who is holding on there in the top tier. She started in the top tier, fell down to middle tier when she was voted out first, but has gotten great content on Extinction and is back up into the top tier. All right. So after Natalie is going to be Ethan, who actually jumps over Denise and Wendell in the middle tier. Top of the middle tier here for Ethan, that he is some great content on Extinction. He had fallen after being voted out, but he is a little he's both normalizing and getting good content on Extinction. Okay. So he's back up a little bit. And Wendell is going to be after Ethan, continuing to fall slowly but surely.
I mean, they're showing him.
And I think that I think there's some logic to it too, right? Where it's like, if Wendell was playing a really great game and was going to do well in the season, we'd probably be seeing more from him. Therefore, I think people are starting to anticipate already that their expectations of Wendell based on Ghost Island are not matching what we're seeing so far. I think it's still very, it's a very fragile fall. I think that he could easily jump back up in any episode. And then after Wendell is actually Michelle.
That doesn't shock me. Michelle's had a good couple episodes.
Yeah, Michelle jumps over Denise to be behind Wendell in the middle tier. Michelle is on the rise still. A smaller jump than last week, but she's still on the rise here as we continue to see her play the game. After Michelle is Denise, and then Denise.
I want to see more of her. I love Denise so much.
Denise actually fell a decent amount this week. I'm not sure where, you know, again, I think it's just because we didn't hear from her. Right. And so she's becoming less and less relevant. And then after Denise is Adam.
Okay.
Hanging around there toward the bottom of the middle tier. And after Adam is actually the end of the middle tier. Nick has fallen from middle tier to bottom tier. Yeah. I guess not a great episode. We're finally hearing from Nick. Right. And the first time we're hearing from Nick, he's a target. Exactly. I think that's where this is coming from. It wasn't like he wasn't in the greatest place last week either. He was already toward the very bottom of the middle tier. But this episode was just enough to knock him down into the bottom tier. But again, I think we're seeing so little from Nick that this could easily go anywhere based on any kind of episode that we get in the future.
I hope he's gone soon, though. I don't like him.
After Nick is still Ben.
I'm just really terrified we're gonna get like a Ben, Nick, and like one of the legends final three or something, and I just don't want it to happen.
It's possible. I mean, two of the four bottom tier people according to this audience is still in the game, still going strong. So Ben still a little bit on the rise here. He started at the very bottom.
Okay. Wow, I'm sad. Like, wow, he's third. He's doing so well this week.
And then after Ben, we still have Amber and Danny still in the same spots here. They both went up a little bit, actually. I think, you know, they both got good enough content from Extinction, but still hanging around the bottom.
Right. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, Danny should be at the bottom. Danny played so bad.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I was looking forward to Danny.
And like, out of anyone, it's like she was in this like weird middle ground where like she wasn't one of the legends, she wasn't like old school, she wasn't super new school, she wasn't. I think she could have sailed to the merge if she had like cooled it.
What are you gonna do? I also asked you guys on the survey. I'd seen some people saying, "Why only four tiers? Make it five tiers. More options." So I was interested to know if you guys wanted to add an additional tier. In the survey, though, most of you said no. Keep four tiers.
Yeah. What would the additional tier be?
It would be like legend, top, you know, middle, high, middle, low, middle, bottom, or so. You know, we'd come up with something.
I like four.
People like the four tiers, so we're gonna keep the four tiers. I apologize to those that wanted more, but you know,
this is really fun to me. You know, I love ranking things, so I'm very
this honestly, like, I'm so excited to check the results of the survey every week. It's just so fascinating to me, the response, because sometimes I'm surprised, sometimes I'm like, oh, that makes complete sense. And I've always just been curious about like because the editing is really the thing more than anything else, I think, that's impacting these ratings. As we see, like, people that don't get as much airtime, their legacy is being impacted by that, which I think is an indicator that your legacy is probably more tied to your edit than you might expect.
I guess if I go back on Big Brother, I'm just cussing everyone out all day, every day.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we have for you this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, talking about Survivor. Big Brother Canada just started last night. Yeah. We're going to have our first eviction in about 20 minutes if you're watching this live. I will be back in like an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and a half to talk about our first eviction episode of Big Brother. So that should be fun. Andy, anything else that you wanted to bring up about Survivor?
No, I'm just, it's been like I said, it's been like a fever dream watching the season. It's so fun and so thrilling. I love it.
Awesome. So happy to talk to you, Andy. Yeah. You are a lover of movies. Are there any movies that people should be watching?
Yeah, The Invisible Man was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. It was so good. Like, there are a couple moments in it that I just thought were so shocking and so fun. It's just a very, very well-made, good horror movie, which I don't think we get that often. So that's the one that I would really recommend right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I actually, I don't remember the director's name, but it's the same guy that did Upgrade, which was another, like, for me at least, I was like, this, you know, the concept here is like, it looks, seems kind of generic, but then you watch it and it was like really surprisingly really good.
Thrilling. Yeah, it was so good.
And so I actually haven't seen Invisible Man yet. Been too busy, but I'm looking forward to it because it seems like very much the same thing. I feel like the marketing for it has been a little like,
it's really good.
Exactly. So I think it's another movie that's probably going to surprise you in terms of like how quality it is, based on your expectations. All right. So that's what we've got. Thank you again, Andy, for hanging out. Where can people find you on online?
You can find me at Andy Heron on Twitter and Instagram, and don't friend me on Facebook because I'm only friends with my real life friends there.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Make sure you you follow me so that you can see the survey that comes out after the episode ends. You can get your opinion in. If you disagree with any of these moves or if you disagree with the tier survey result, then hey, you got to get in there and vote. That's how it works. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. I will be back next week, and we'll see you then.
Yeah, Taren's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taren and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual sees. Taren.